gets it. Bullets alone. Touchdown, New York.
Swung on a miss. Strike three. Johan Santana has pitched a no-hitter.
Anthony's going to try and get one more shot off for him. Throw the buzzer.
Oh, he puts it in.
Mark Messier.
Do you believe it? Do you believe it?
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to TKM Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Cameron Tracewell. It's been over a month, right? We talked about college football a while back. We got into a little bit more details about it. There's been a lot that's happened over college football, and we are going into week 14. Week 14 is the final game of the regular season. Technically, you could say, I think it's Army-Navy is technically the final, is the ending of the regular season, but I always say week 14 is always the ending of the regular season. All the games, all the best games happen. Listen, week 14, we got competitive matchups. We got games that are going to determine who's going to make the Big 12, who's going to make our championship games. We got games who, you know, some teams are going to bounce. Some teams are going to pop in. There's a lot of things to talk about. And college football this year overall as a whole. So we can kind of generally look back at it right now and just talk about it. I think college football this year has been crazy. It's been different than most years. Most years, we normally have two or three teams we can look at and go, that team is the best team. That team, Michigan, Georgia, Alabama in the past, right? Ohio State. Couple teams, normally a couple four teams that are always looming around, that are around, and you know they're the top dog teams of that of the year. They've been beasting every single year. They've been beasting during the year and playing great and almost looking unbeatable. When we started this season, we thought Georgia, Texas, Alabama, Ohio State, and Oregon, right? Probably the five teams that everybody thought that were almost unbeatable. And then my Penn State came in the background, right? And we got Clemson that might be in here somewhere. Miami that's going to be in there. But overall, it's been back. There's not been one great team. You know, on both sides of the ball. Oregon has been the most consistent team. They have been the top dog team, Oregon has. It's number one in the country for a reason. Offensively, I think they're the best offensive team in the country by far. Defensively, I don't. I don't think defensively they're really all... I think they're just as average as everybody else defensively. Offensively, though, Dylan Gabriel's special. That Oregon team is special offensively, and I love what I've been seeing out of them. But overall, as a whole this year, we don't have one deciding factor, which makes it so much fun going in this 12-team playoff. Makes so much fun coming into the conference championships. Who's going to make it? What teams are going to surprise? Are there going to be any underdogs we can talk about? The 12-team playoffs gives us so much to talk about and so many teams a chance to surprise a lot of teams. Like, the conference champion winners don't guarantee anything. They don't guarantee anybody a win. They might guarantee you a bye, but it doesn't mean they're going to guarantee you a win. Today, I want to talk about week 14. We'll highlight a little bit of NFL later on in the show because the NFL, we still have a lot of football to go through the NFL, but college football is really coming down to the wire here. And we'll highlight a little bit MLS, what's been going on over there. Playoffs have been going crazy recently. So I'll highlight that at the end of the show. WWE has Survivor Series is coming through. It's going to be a crazy... This is going to be a longer episode for most people who, you know, I normally do college football and I do something else later, but this is a general all-over episode. I want to have a real general discussion through this episode, so let's jump into week 14, and let's get started with... Really, we have today's games, the Friday games, and, you know, Boise State and Oregon today. You got Colorado and Oklahoma State. The game of the day, I think, for the Friday games is the Georgia and Georgia Tech. I don't think Tech's had a bad year. Regardless of them having four, maybe five losses at the end of the regular season, I don't think they've had a bad year. I think they've had opportunities to where they could have won some games closer, but to look at them and say they've had a bad year, they took out two number four teams. They took out Miami. They took out Florida State and I know Florida State's not a very good football team, but when everybody thought they were a good football team. Overall, I think they've had a pretty average year for Georgia Tech, and I think it's, you know, going in to play Georgia, who lost to Ole Miss, who lost to Alabama, who's still trying to find their identity going into this big moment. It's going to be a fun competitive matchup. I expect Georgia to come out of it, but I don't think it's going to be a complete blowout game. When you look at Georgia, they've struggled in teams against the first half. They struggled against Clemson in the beginning of the year. They struggled against Florida. They struggle against some teams they shouldn't struggle against in the first half football games. So I think it's going to be competitive. I think Georgia will get the job done. I think they'll win probably by 14 points at the least. But I think in the first half, it's going to be a pretty competitive football game since Georgia Tech has a heck of a run game. Going to Saturday, we have the Iron Bowl, the game. We have Clemson and South Carolina. We have Notre Dame and USC. Caleb Williams' number is going to retire. That's going to be fun. So we got some games. We have Texas and Texas A&M. That could be a deciding factor this weekend. To start out the weekend, we all know it's the game. Everybody wants to talk about the game. And ladies and gentlemen, the game this year is not the game that it's been in the past 4 to 5 years. It's not, right? Ohio State winning couple 4 or 5 years ago. Michigan winning 3 straight. Ohio State's going to win this year. No Jim Harbaugh. Half your offensive roster, left for the NFL last year. You don't really have a quarterback in Michigan right now. They don't have a quarterback that's any good. Ohio State offensively is unstoppable. And I think I think they're going to beat down Michigan and Columbus. They're going to take care of business. It's going to be the beatdown for 3 years, right? The beatdown they've been waiting for. I think Ohio State's been waiting on this. They've wanted this. And Michigan has a solid defense, but it's not good enough to hold up with Ohio State for that long and that good of an offense. Give me Ohio State over Michigan. And I wish it was a more competitive game, and it will be in the next two years. It's going to get back to being that competitive series. But for right now, I don't think the game is the best game on in week 14 at all. I don't even think it's the game to talk about. You could also, people will say the Iron Bowl. I don't think the Iron Bowl is that to talk about. I think when you look across this rival, look across the rivalry here and look into week 14, the best game is a noon game. It's Clemson and South Carolina. South Carolina should be a 10-1 football team. They should have beaten Alabama. They should have beaten LSU. Clemson lost to Louisville, and they lost to Georgia in the beginning of the year. This game right here, I think, is a big deciding factor of who's going to make the college football playoff. South Carolina could easily sneak their way in there. Now, South Carolina's road, I think, is a lot harder than Clemson's. Clemson wins this game, they have a potential chance to get in and play. Now, they're going to need either Miami or SMU to drop, to lose a game for them to be able to compete for the ACC championship game. But Clemson still, I think, could make it based off of their record and, beating a team like South Carolina. When I look at this game, I think this is the most meaningful game of the day. It really is to me. It's that, maybe Texas A&M and Texas. But I'm going to roll with South Carolina. Shane Beamer is a heck of a head coach. And listen, I like Dabo. I do. I think Dabo is a heck of a coach for a guy who doesn't go to the NIL. The guy who doesn't do any of that NIL stuff and just coaches. To have a 9-2 season, number 12 in the country. Could you imagine if Dabo jumped into the NIL? Clemson would be a great football team. But for how their season, how Klubnik has played this season, 2,700 yards, 29 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. He's had a heck of a season. He really has. And it's going to be, this is the most thrilling I think this series has been in a long, long time. I think this is the most thrilling that this series is going to get. Sellers, I like what I see from this guy. 2,100 yards, 17 touchdowns, 6 interceptions on the season. When I look at this, I think, man, South Carolina can really pull this off. And for a young football team to come in after losing Spencer Rattler last year and to play the way they have and should be a 10-1 football team and should arguably be in the SEC championship game. If they'd have won those two games, they easily are in that game. And to look at it and go, South Carolina's a good football team. And I think they can beat Clemson. And I think this is the game of the day. I think this game's going to be so much fun to watch. I think it's going to be so competitive. And I think it's going to be a dogfight. It's going to be mean and nasty. And they're both teams are edging for the college football playoff and edging for a chance to get their spot in there. So, to me, give me South Carolina over Clemson. I know Clemson's home favorite. It's a home game. It's home favorite for them. Give me South Carolina over Clemson. Notre Dame, USC. So Caleb Williams is going to retire his number. Notre Dame, I'm still not sold on Notre Dame. I'm not sold on them. Congratulations, you beat Army. You beat a football team that doesn't throw the ball rarely at all. 26 yards of passing. They threw the ball eight. They attempted eight throws. Quarterback did. He ran 139 yards on 39 carries and two touchdowns. But you're asking a team that doesn't throw the ball at all. What do you do with Notre Dame? You're going to blitz. You're going to bring the rain. You're going to bring the house on a team like Army because you know Army's not throwing the ball. And, you know, Army, I think they've had a great 9-1's an awesome season. It's an awesome season by Army. They should be proud of that. But Notre Dame, it's not a big-time win to me. Beating Army's not a big-time win. Beating Navy's not a big-time win. Okay? I don't think those are big-time win. Beating Texas A&M, and I'm going to tell you, if they played Texas A&M today, Notre Dame would lose. Texas A&M would handle Notre Dame easily. They should have won at the beginning of the year, and I think they could win right now if they played them again. But they're going to play USC, who's had a mid-season, really. I think people expected a lot more better from Miller Moss and the Lincoln Riley coach team, but first time in the Big Ten, it's been a struggle. Lost to Washington. Compete, you know, you beat Nebraska. You beat your rival in UCLA. You struggled against Maryland and lost to Maryland. You lost to Penn State in overtime. You lost to Minnesota. You lost to Michigan when you should have never lost to Michigan. USC has been, it's been a spiral season for them, 6-5. When I look at it, if Notre Dame wants to prove themselves, you know, to go 11-1 and finish out the season real well, I think Notre Dame has to win this game. I think this is a must-win for Notre Dame, no matter what. Notre Dame has to win this game. So for this rival, I'm going with Notre Dame, even though I don't think they're a good football team. I don't think they're a great football team. I don't think they're a national champion football team. But I do think they will beat this USC team. So give me Notre Dame over USC, Miami over Syracuse. I think that's easy. Kyle McCord, I mean, Syracuse 8-3. It's not a bad season. They've had worse. But I think Miami's going to win this game. Arizona State became a sleeper in the Big 12. Who never thought that, man? When did we ever think that? So when we go to the Big 12, right? And we can talk about the Big 12 season. Because, I mean, the Big 12 has been competitive throughout this year. BYU for a while, Kansas State for a while, Iowa State. Those three teams seem like top dogs. Arizona State came out of nowhere. This team, Arizona State, yeah, they fighting. They beat BYU. They beat BYU. They beat Kansas State. Arizona did what they had to do to win the big time games. They beat the big time teams to get up there. And so Arizona State plays Arizona, and this would be a good one for Arizona to steal if Arizona wanted to ruin Arizona State's season. But really, Arizona State has been a heck of a football team this year. 9-2. They're going to probably play BYU if BYU finishes out. But if they beat Houston, I think Arizona State beats Arizona, and BYU beats Houston, I think they're in. Iowa State's not had a bad season. They've been competitively in there. Colorado, I think, was a disappointment. I think that was a disappointment for me. I really wanted Colorado in the Big 12 championship. Now, I think Colorado having an 8-3 season to this point right now, and I know they play Oklahoma State as when this episode goes out, but I think for the season they had, for people to say they only win 4 games, I think Deion, Travis Hunter, Shedeur Sanders had an incredible season. I think it could have, they were easily, you know, 2 plays. Right, against Kansas and Kansas State, maybe 2 or 3 plays. They really could have had a 10-1 season. But it is what it is. It happens, right? But Colorado, I think, has had an interesting season. When we talk about the Heisman here in a little bit, but for the Big 12 overall, I think we got a lot of things that we did not expect. I think we expected Kansas State to be at the top, right? We expected Iowa State to be at the top and fight. I don't think we expected Baylor to be 7-4. I don't think anybody expected Baylor to be 7-4. I don't think anybody expected TCU to be 7-4 this season, or Texas Tech to be 5-3. Everybody expected West Virginia, who's 6-5 and 5-3 in conference. I don't think everybody expected West Virginia to be maybe at the top this season, and they didn't get up there. They weren't good. Everybody's favorite at the beginning of the year. What about Utah? Everybody picked Utah to win this thing in week one. And Utah went 1-7 in the Big 12. They were terrible. But Oklahoma State, Mike Gundy couldn't even buy a win. They might beat Colorado today. but they couldn't buy a Big 12. They have a chance to go 0-9 in the Big 12 this year. To me, that's crazy. Nobody expected that. Nobody expected Arizona State, who just came from the Pac-12, to be in there. BYU was bad last year, and they're a lot better this year. Colorado just came from the Pac-12. Nobody expected Colorado to be in the top four. Nobody expected that, and they are. So your teams that normally are in the Big 12 dominating, right, that have been in the Big 12 for a while, are not even at the top. You got the guys coming in that, you know, Baylor's the second year, Arizona State their first. They're coming in, and they're playing great Big 12 football. And the Big 12 teams can't even fight with that. So, I mean, that's just crazy to me. It really is. I mean, I guess you could say it's like Texas and the SEC, and Oklahoma's not doing good at all. But it's crazy to me how the Big 12 has been this season. It's been an odd season for the Big 12. But, I mean, really, like I said, it's been an odd season in college football altogether. Going back to earlier, you know, talk about the weekend games, talked about the Big 12, Arizona State. I think Arizona State will beat Arizona this weekend. We got Texas and Texas A&M. So, when you look at this, Texas A&M has a chance to ruin somebody's season. Texas has not had a very good schedule. They've kind of had a cupcake schedule. And that's not their fault, but I mean, they have. The only loss they have is to Georgia, and that was the best team they played all season. And so, when I look at Texas A&M could ruin their season easily. And I think Texas A&M's a pretty good football team. I really do. And I love that they brought this rivalry back. I thought, you know, it's great to have this rival between the two of them. But to me, when I look at this season and, you know, look at what they could do here, I expect Texas to win, but I hope Texas A&M surprises everybody and puts up a real big dogfight. It'd be fun to see Texas A&M really into this game. I'm picking Texas over Texas A&M. We got Kansas State and Iowa State. Big 12, right? I'm going with Iowa State over Kansas State. I think Iowa State's had a heck of a season. I think they finished season 10-2. So I will pick Iowa State over Kansas State. And most of the other, I mean, we got the Iron Bowl. We got Alabama and Auburn. Auburn's a scary team to play, you know, and playing in Auburn, like Nick Saban said, that's a scary place to play. But we're in Alabama and coming off a bad loss to Oklahoma. When I look at a team like Alabama, right, there's five teams that are going to come before them in the SEC championship game. I mean, Alabama's kind of shot themselves in the foot when they played Oklahoma. The Iron Bowl, they're going to play this weekend. They're going to play Auburn. I think they're going to beat Auburn. They should beat Auburn, but they should have beat Oklahoma. So, Alabama, when I look at it, I think they've pretty much shot themselves in the foot to get into the college football playoff. Same with Ole Miss. I don't think there's a way either one of those teams get in. Is Alabama really much better than South Carolina? Are they better than South Carolina? No. Even though they beat them by 2 points, I don't think they're that much better than South Carolina. I don't think Alabama's better than Texas. I don't think Alabama, I mean, you could say Alabama's better than Georgia, but if you put them up against Georgia again, do they beat them? Alabama has so many question marks, and it's sad, really, for me. It really is. Because Jalen Milroe thought he would be the next Michael Penix this season. And what I mean by that is, last year, Alabama, when they played Michigan, defensively, they were on all-time high. And offensively, they were average. They were a little bit more than average, but they were not what I thought they could be. And I thought bringing in Kalen would elevate Jalen Milroe to a Michael Penix level. And it's not been that way. The true, you know, run game / passing effective game we had seen out of Alabama all season was against Georgia. That was the best we had seen out of them. That was the best that Alabama could have been offensively. Defensively, no, because their defense is taking a dip. But offensively, that was the best we've seen out of them in that first half of that football game against Georgia. They played great, and they lost to Vanderbilt, and it's been a spiral ever since. And then they, you know, Jalen Milroe kind of had a new relife against LSU, right? It looked like a game where, you know, he revived a little bit of that offense we've been looking for. And then they play Oklahoma, throw 3 picks, and it looked like an utter disaster. Alabama, I don't think Kalen should be fired. People who call him for that guy's job are absolutely ridiculous. There's only one guy that could have filled that role. I don't care what anybody says. There's only one guy with the credentials that could have filled that role, and people wouldn't have been mad about it, was been Kirby Smart. He's the only guy that could have filled that role. Because you got Kalen, who he builds teams up, right? Washington, ain't nobody looking at Washington last beginning of last year and everybody going, they're going to make national championship. No, nobody was looking at that. He's a guy, he's a coach who takes a bunch of guys who don't believe, who start off the season that don't believe they're going to do something special and then believe. You got these guys at Alabama that they believe from the rip. Not only do they believe, they expect to be in the top five. They expect to be in these, sir. They got these expectations. So you got guys, you got a coach who comes from guys who, you know, don't think they can do it to we can do something special here to we got guys who are doing this every single year. So they're not, this is not new to them. This is not a surprise. And look at Alabama. I mean, I thought Kalen could elevate their offense to new heights, and I don't see it. I don't think he needs to be fired. I think you give him two more years. I think you have to. You got to let him get his guys in there, and let's see what he can do. But you got to be careful. I mean, you don't want to lose a disciplined team, and Alabama had a really talented team. Now, they lost 20. Now, it's also in the same breath. You lose 20 players. You lose guys like Caleb Downs, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, what do you expect? Caleb Downs is a superstar safety. And you lose him? What do you think was going to happen? What about guys like Isaiah Bond, wide receiver? Jalen Milroe could use Isaiah Bond this year with Ryan Williams on the other side. Goes to Texas. Nick Saban departing lost a lot of players. I mean, there's not very many teams that can sit there and say, we lost like 25 star players at Alabama. We lost all these guys that were, you know, part of this team. You can't say that about a lot of teams. So Alabama's had a rough new season, new team, a lot of new players, new system. I expect to be better next year. I know Milroe won't be there, but I expect it to be, you know, try to start rebuilding and trying to start to find his offense. He's going to have to get off on the defensive part. He's going to have to figure out how to get a defensive coordinator who knows what they're doing in the SEC. Because the guy he's got now is not cutting it. That guy's not cutting it. They can't stop anybody. So there's a couple things for Alabama, but I think Alabama's out. I don't think Alabama makes the college football playoff. I think there's too many good teams in the SEC, and you got four teams in the Big Ten. You got Oregon, Ohio State, Penn State, and Indiana who are going to be in the way. You got Arizona State probably coming out of the Big 12. Yeah, it's probably going to be Arizona State. They're going to make that out of the Big 12. You got Boise State who's coming in, right? So, I mean, I just think there's too many teams for Alabama to really be able to make it into the college football playoff. Now, things can go their way. It's always possible. There's always a possibility, but it's so unlikely. That is week 14. That is college football. We talked a lot about college football. There's a lot of things to talk about when it came to that, but, you know, week 14 has been exciting. College football has been exciting. Who's y'all's Heisman? I have not talked about the Heisman race very much. And that is because I never, throughout the season, I don't really like to get into the Heisman all that much. I mean, we saw, like, lights of, you know, Dillon Gabriel, right, at some point in the season was making noise. But it's come down to two players, and I was waiting for it to, I really wait for it to come down to about two guys who are, you know, the defined guys that, you know, possibly have a chance of winning it. And if we had any year where we needed two Heisman Trophy, you know, winners, it'd be this year. We got two guys who were absolutely elite, who are top five. Both of them easily should be top five picks in the NFL draft. The only reason one of them won't be is because those teams don't need a running back. But outside of that, Ashton Jeanty and Travis Hunter are the two best players in college football by far. And Travis Hunter playing two positions, 140 snaps. Ashton Jeanty possibly could break Barry Sanders' record. I mean, the dude is absolutely special. It's been a crazy, you know, he's over 2,000 yards rushing. He's done way more than Derrick Henry did in his MVP season. But unfortunately, you got guys like Travis Hunter, who is playing two positions at a high level. And looking at it, This is the year you need two. You need two winners because both these guys are absolutely electric. Now, a lot of people are going to go with Ashton Jeanty. That's fair. A lot of people can go with Travis Hunter. That's fair. For me personally, we've seen a lot of great running backs. But Barry Sanders has done this. Barry Sanders has done a lot with Ashton Gentry's doing. He's done it. I can't really... I know there's players that probably have done it in college football. But I don't remember a player. Specifically, a guy who can play 140 snaps at a high level. Be the best football player on his team. Be the possibly the best, and I think he's the best college football player in the country. And be the life and soul of a football team, like Travis Hunter. Ashton Gentry is one side of the football. Travis Hunter's doing it on both sides. 140 snaps. He is one of the most deadliest weapons we have seen in college football. I mean, does anybody really remember? I assume there's some people that probably can pull up some guys that probably have done this before. But I don't think there is a guy that has done it this much every single game, never takes snaps off, and is the life and soul of the team, best player on the team, changes Colorado's fate in multiple games this year. Travis Hunter, as a wideout, has been great. As a corner, has been great. And to me, when I look at guys like Ashton Gentry, on any other year, I would say Ashton Gentry is easily the Heisman. But because Travis Hunter is in this, is playing in the same year, because Travis Hunter is playing on both sides of the ball, because he plays at such a high level, he's the difference maker for Colorado. I look at it and I go, and when I also look at it, I know a lot of people don't put this in the factor, but he's the number one. He's going to be the number one pick in the NFL. He's a megastar, and it's just to me looking at it all around the stats, the numbers. I know Ashton Gentry's got him beat, but to me, I'd give it to Travis Hunter. This is a once in a lifetime. This is like, and maybe it's not, but this is to me, this is like Shohei Ohtani in football. You know, Babe Ruth did it a long time ago, but Shohei's done it at another level. And this is the same thing with Travis Hunter. There's probably somebody who's done it before quite a bit, but this is like pitching and batting, playing defense and offense and being the main factor of the football team and being the best and being top, you know, top in each position. 140 snaps that nobody else can do this. Nobody else is doing it. I mean, I would roll with Travis Hunter. That would be my pick. Travis Hunter is my pick and has been my pick for weeks. If Gentry gets it, I wouldn't be mad. He deserves it just as much as Travis Hunter. And if Hunter gets it over Gentry, that's great. And if Gentry gets it over Hunter, that's fine. To me, both deserve it. Both easily deserve it. I don't even think it should be an argument. I don't think it should be an argument who should get it. Like, I think college football fans should be happy that either one of the guys get it. Because these are two of the most electrifying football players we have seen in a long time in college football. They are dominating the game, dominating the spectrum. And yes, I'd say Ashton Gentry probably has a better chance of getting it because he's going to probably be in the college football playoff. But in the regular season here, I don't know how you deny Travis Hunter this. I just don't see how you deny a guy who plays 140 snaps in two positions and two positions at the highest level in D1 and plays a better competition than Boise State. That's just me. That's just me. But regardless, both guys deserve it. We'll jump into college football. Going into the bowl games, going into the conference championship games in week 15. It's going to be an interesting conference championship week. I think this week's going to be one of the most interesting weeks to talk about. And that's why I want to talk about it. We haven't talked about college football in a while. And I thought it was time for me to get back on here and talk a little bit about college football. NFL, so Thanksgiving happened this week. Matt Eberflus. So for the NFL. Matt Eberflus still has a job. We're not sure how. The Cowboys are winning football games. Nobody understands how. But this weekend, you know, we got the Steelers, Russell Wilson, and the Steelers have looked okay throughout the season. My Steelers play the Bengals. I don't know how they're going to shape out against that, but Offensively, we look better this year. Defensively, still don't like our secondary. Never have. Should never lost to the Browns, but it is what it is. I'm glad we're at least 8-3. But we have to, you know, we got to keep winning if we want to prove something. Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers this season. I know we're 13 weeks in, but 7-4 when you kicked out Mike Williams, Keaton Allen, and Austin Eckler, and we're winning football games and we're a winning team. Now, I know Justin Herbert's elite, but damn, I didn't think they'd be, you know, that good of a football team. But the Chargers have been surprising people all season. Now let's get into a couple. I could talk about the Bears. I really could. But the Bears have been a mess for years, and they keep screwing up all the time. And I don't really want to highlight on the Bears today. I just don't think it's worth my time highlighting on the Chicago Bears. I think it's more worth my time to talk about a couple bad. I could highlight on the good teams or whatever, but I like to highlight on the bad teams. And this team was supposed to be a good team, and they are clearly not a good team, is the New York Jets. They're an utter disaster. I don't know which organization is worse, the New York Giants or the New York Jets. Really, I mean, these two teams, these two organizations are the two worst organizations in football. We could talk, I mean, I don't like the Bears, but at least they're more, at least they have some type of football team. At least something is going there. Carolina, same thing. At least they are trying there. Jacksonville, there's been a lot of, like, not enough talent offensively for them this year. Titans, new coach, new system. And trying to figure out this thing with Will Levis, I got it. I'm not mad about those but those organizations have not always been that bad in the past, right? The Jets have been bad for a long time. The Giants have been bad since Eli Manning. And they're getting worse. And yes, you could say, well, we made the playoffs a couple years ago. Congrats. Congrats. We're happy for you. Where's that team now? It's not there. So when I look at this, talk about the Jets and the Giants. Let's start with the Jets. Let's start with the New York Jets. Okay. Roberts, begin the season. Robert Saul was head coach. Solid head coach. Nathaniel Hackett's calling plays for offensively. Debatable whether he should be an offense play caller at all. He's not been very good in the NFL. That's just personally me. There's a reason that Matt LaFleur didn't like him in Green Bay. There's a reason the Broncos don't like him. There's a reason he wasn't really working out with the Jets. But he's a Rodgers guy. Aaron Rodgers, coming back from Achilles tear. Garrett Wilson, we expect a big-time season. Breece Hall, we expect a big-time running season. We have Alan Lazard, Mike Williams, traded for Davante Adams, and traded him for Davante a little while down the road. But we start out with all those players and a good head coach, and Zerline has been a terrible kicker for them. And so we look at this thing. All right, so Rodgers has not been playing good football this season. Garrett Wilson is definitely the best receiver on the football team. Breece Hall has not run the ball effectively. Their defense was stopping people before they fired Robert Saleh. The owner got desperate, fired the coach. They can't stop a snail now. They can't stop anybody. Their defense can't stop anybody. The Jets are 3-8. The owner's probably going to he's probably going to get rid of Rodgers. He's going to get rid of Davante Adams because Devontae's not going to want to be there. You fire Joe Douglas, the GM, who did everything you asked him to do. Go get Aaron Rodgers. We went and got Aaron Rodgers. Go get Davante Adams. We went and got Davante Adams. Go get these defensive guys. Draft this dude. Do this and that. Put together. The dude did everything you asked him to do. And let's fire him. So here's how we know the Jets are complete shambles. This team went from possibly contending and should be contending from a Super Bowl to now we're doing an overhaul. We're firing the head coach in the middle of the season. We're now firing the GM who didn't deserve it, who's put together a good roster. We know for sure they're going to let go of Aaron Rodgers when the season's over. Davante Adams is not going to want to be there. He's going to throw a fit. So they're going to have to get rid of Davante Adams. Who knows if Alan Lazard will be gone as well. Who knows what's going to happen with Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson. Are they going to keep those guys? Are they going to let them go? Sauce Gardner, DJ Reed. What about the guys on the defense here? Are we going to keep those guys? Are we just completely tearing this whole thing down and going to restart it? Is that what we're going to do? Because as much as I've not been impressed with Aaron Rodgers, I don't think the entire season's his fault. I think Zuerlein is definitely, he got some, listen, Zuerlein's got, he's got a lot to do with what has happened this season. They've been a couple kicks away, a couple field goals from having a different season. So he's not helped them at all. To me, it starts with the owner. He's the problem. And I don't like, you don't fire a head coach 5 weeks into the season. You don't fire a defensive head coach who's keeping you in football games, whose defense looks good, who has a top five defense in the NFL, who's been playing well. And listen, I know there was some, you know, political things and stuff that he did that aren't right, whatever. The guy was the leader of your team. He was the leader of your team. He was never the problem. And your defense has dropped the ball since. Your defense can't cover anybody since he left. Your offense, Nathaniel Hackett should have never been the play caller. They have no life on the offense. I mean, you have Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, and Davante Adams, and we can't make anything out of it. They can't do anything with that. Aaron Rodgers can't do anything with that. This Jets thing has been terrible. The Jets have been a disaster. And I think it starts with the owner firing the head coach. That's where it went wrong for me. You fired the guy, they should have never fired him. Now, you could say they can, why do I say that the New York Giants are in competition of that? Well, the best running back in football is in Philadelphia. You didn't want to pay him. You didn't want to bring Saquon. You didn't want to give Saquon the money back. You didn't want to give a fair shake to Saquon Barkley. Okay, but you got nobody to replace him. You don't have an offensive line. You bring in Malik Nabers, who's a great receiver. He's a great rookie receiver. You don't have anybody else that's all that great. Your defense kind of stinks. Daniel Jones is overpaid. Do I think he's a bad quarterback? No. But do I think he's a great quarterback? No. But okay, I can see maybe a way that we want to bench Daniel Jones because it's not going our way. Whatever, that's fine. But let's not bench the guy. Put him at QB and then play him in safety during practice. And then everybody's questioning, he demanded a release from the New York Giants. Yeah, yeah, no kidding. Yeah, because if I'm Daniel Jones, I played here for the last couple years. We went to the playoffs one time. You just demoted me to QB4. So you're telling me that Drew Locke and Tim Boyle are better than me? Deserve to play more than me? And then you're also running me at safety, which I don't play at all at practice? No kidding. I want out of there. What they should have done with Daniel Jones, put him at QB2. Oh, wait, yeah, Tommy DeVito got hurt. So, yeah, he could have played against the Cowboys on Thanksgiving night. I'm not saying Drew Locke didn't play a bad game, but Daniel Jones, they should have just waited. They should have said, hey, at the end of the season, we're going to let you go and rebuild this whole... They got to rebuild the whole thing. Both New York teams are rebuilding. They're tanking. Both of them are tanking to rebuild. And you know what? The owner of the Giants will probably fire Brian Daboll. It's not his fault whatsoever that you guys can't assemble a good team. That's not his fault. So, at the end of the day, the Giants and the Jets are competing for probably the two worst organizations of football. Have been an utter disaster this year. I know the Jags, the Titans, the Panthers, which I'm so excited about, by the way. The Panthers have given us some life, ladies and gentlemen. And the Browns, by the way, who are horrible. But the Panthers, they're 3-8. But man, they play Kansas City like they play Kansas City like they're a winning football team. Bryce Young has made his return. He's franchise quarterback. Finally figuring out Canal's system. Finally looks good. Anticipating throws. Moving the ball. Looks good. Showing everybody the reason why he was drafted number one over CJ Stroud. Who Stroud's been struggling this year. So I'm excited, for me personally, to be able to see what he can do against Tampa Bay this weekend. But I saw what I need to see against the Chiefs, that he's good enough to be a franchise quarterback. He's good enough to play for that organization. And I am impressed with what I've seen from Bryce Young this season. So, 49ers have been a bad season. But overall, look at the NFL season. There's been a couple bad teams. There's been some good teams. But to me, really, the Jets and the Giants have been the most to talk about. The Panthers have finally started to have a positive life to talk about. The Raiders have been a disaster. The Saints have had injury-prone season. The same with the 49ers. The Browns are Deshaun Watson never can get out of the contract team. They're never getting out of this. They're starting him next year, which is, I don't understand. I can't get that around to me. Okay, I get it. We paid Deshaun Watson all this money to get him from Houston, right? Guaranteed money. This dude gets hurt all the time. This guy is, I don't even think he's thrown over 250 yards in a football game, and Jameis Winston's thrown 300 plus. I don't get it. I don't understand that. What is going on with, you know, the Browns never can figure it out. And I think Genty's projected to go there when they just got Nick Chubb back. I mean, to me, it's crazy. It's just crazy. It's crazy what has happened to the Browns can't move on. Some of these teams that have been bad shouldn't be bad. The Cowboys are even, you know, because of injury, going to tank. But really, it's been an interesting NFL season. We have a lot more to talk about. Every single week, I'm going to post NFL week pick'ems and, you know, highlight some of the games on my TikTok and stuff for the week. But I didn't really want to jump too much in the NFL. College football was more for this episode. And I just wanted, you know, to really just dive into college football. College football is big time. Everybody loves college football. Everybody wants to talk about college football. College football is fun. It's been a crazy season, and I can't believe we're already in 14 weeks in. It's absolutely insane to me. All right, to finally, you know, we're going to come down to the end of this episode here. And for MLS, for the NBA, we could talk about the NBA, but I'm not doing that today. I'm not going to bore y'all with the NBA talk. NBA Cup's going on. And it's not been all that interesting right now for me. NBA is not really interesting until about mid-March, where we start getting close to playoffs. That's where NBA gets really, really fun for me. And I love basketball, but NBA to me anymore, it's not all that fun to watch in the beginning of the season because you got football and stuff going on. So MLS is in a tight right now. NYCFC, my team, we lost to the Red Bulls, to our rival. I was disappointed in that. I was hoping we could get a win over the rival team, but we had a great season. People didn't think we were going to make it to the divisional round, but hey, man, we made it. We made it. It's fun, man. We made it. We beat Cincinnati. Miami, Messi goes out. Man, nobody, whoever thought Cincinnati and Miami be out of this? Nobody thought. Everybody thought Miami would win the whole thing, and they're out of it. Now, we have Orlando beat Atlanta. The Galaxy blew out Minnesota. And now this weekend, we have Orlando plays the Red Bulls. Going to be a tighter match. I think Orlando could surprise everybody and win this thing. Orlando could, you know, pull out a win here and beat the Red Bulls. And then I think the Galaxy will slaughter Seattle. I think Galaxy are going to win the whole thing. I think they're going to win the MLS Cup, and which is going to be exciting to see. MLS playoffs is a lot more fun. MLS season kind of drags on for a while, and which I don't like because I get it. They do like the FIFA thing where they play, like, you know, the weekends and stuff. I don't like that. I wish they would just, you know, not start in like March and go to December. Can we like start in like June and like go to November? I get that'd be like a lot better season for me. That'd be keep more competitive. But I think the Galaxy are going to win the whole thing. And congratulations to them. I don't see how they're going to be able to lose. I don't see how Galaxy will be able to lose. So I'm picking the Galaxy to win the MLS Cup. Been a crazy MLS season. Playoffs have been absolutely insane. But, ladies and gentlemen, got a highlight on our final get-go. The West Virginia Mountaineers could finish 7-5. Got to beat Texas Tech this weekend. Got to beat Texas Tech. Could finish 8-5 on the season, depending on who we get in the bowl. I still think Neil Brown should be fired. That's just me. I'm always going to feel like that. I don't like Neil Brown. I never have. But, hey, maybe he could finish out with the season with a winning record. But I think Neil Brown could be a great ACC coach. If West Virginia is the ACC, Neil Brown would be leading us to victory all over the place. But because we're in the Big 12, it's not a running conference. We got, you know, big offensive line guys, good running backs, and good running quarterback. But we really need a really good passing quarterback with good, fast wide receivers. Don't really need a big offensive line. Don't really need that. Now, secondary, front seven's been pretty good. Secondary's been terrible. Hope secondary can improve next year. But hey, ladies and gentlemen, 6-5 could finish 7-5. Let's get the W and get the win. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you all enjoyed this episode. It's good to be back on here. We'll be back here very soon. But follow the TikTok, the Instagram, the Twitter, the Facebook. I like to post on there and talk about the weekend sports and what's been going on. I'm going to definitely highlight college football this weekend and highlight the NFL on Sunday. So, ladies and gentlemen, hope you all enjoy yourself. Hope you all had a good holiday. Hope you all had a good, happy Thanksgiving. Great during the holiday season to spend with family. All right, ladies and gentlemen, take care, and I'll see you all later.